I think sermons have already been preached already, haven't they? I believe the Lord has been with us today. And that's good. Isn't it good? You know, the tears of the world are lost forever when for themselves. But you know, there's a little verse in Psalm 96 and verse 5 that says, our tears are in God's bottle of remembrance. How about that? Our tears are in God's bottle of remembrance. They will not be shed in vain for those who love the Lord. Let's return to Psalm 51. Remember this psalm. It's a psalm of confession, David's confession of sin. We laid the groundwork historically for it, as it is certainly David's heart, his call and beseeching the Lord to create a clean heart in him, to forgive him of his sin, to receive him again, to restore the joy of his salvation to him. So we read once again the Word of God, and we pick up from the foundation that we laid last week from the heading of this psalm. To the choir master, a song or psalm of David when Nathan the prophet went to him after he had gone into Bathsheba. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions. The Hebrew says, for I know my life. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me rejoice. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of my salvation, or your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from the blood guiltiness, O God, O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Do good to Zion in your good pleasure. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then will you delight in right sacrifices, in burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. And may God then add his blessing to the reading of his holy and precious word of God. We set the tone for this last week as we looked at the historical foundation of David's background and the heading to this particular psalm, to the choir master, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet went to him after he had gone into Bathsheba. And we saw the details of that particular sin. And I thought to myself as I began to prepare this message, what would it be if our sins were unfolded on the pages of Scripture before the whole world? I wonder what it would look like. Let me say this in response to that. David has come to such a sense of his sin against the Lord that he immediately turns to the mercy of God, and he asks God to forgive him. And it begins, really, the heading of the whole psalm could be the one sentence, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love." Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. That is the essential heart of David's confession and request of God. He is asking God from the heart to forgive him. That is his confession. And when he asks God that, he recognizes the depth of his sin. Remember, there is a verse down on in here that says, "Against thee only have I sinned, O God." Now, in some sense, is that true? That is absolutely true. In another sense, you have to say, were other lives affected by David's sin? Yes, and that is not what the passage means. My dear friends, when you and I sin, it will affect those around us. It will have an impact on our life, on those who live closest to us, and those who live among us. And that is not what David meant. It's just that when David sinned and he became visually impaired spiritually against that, and he was involved in that, he went almost a year. Remember, almost a year in all of this, and just blind to it in a way. And I'm sure deep down in his heart he wasn't blind to it, was he? But he had a way in his humanness to kind of just put it on the back burner. "Lord, I know it's there, but I don't want to think about it. Lord, I'm just trying to put all that behind me. You know, I'm just trying to put my past behind me. I'm just trying to get on with the business." And sometimes we have a way of doing that. I remember hearing one president say, "I'm tired of dealing with all this personal stuff. I just wanted to get on with the work of the presidency." Have you ever heard language like that before? And then the poll was taken, and you know what the people responded to that president with? Only 11% were concerned about his moral actions. 78% were more concerned about his function and performance as a president. Only 11% were concerned about moral personal actions, even in a president's life. It perhaps may show us kind of where we are morally in a day in which we live among a people of whom repentance and the mention of sin is not very popular. Let's just put it back there, and it's okay. Everything's fine, just so long as I perform well. Just so long as I perform well, everything's all right. Well, not so with David. David says he comes to the realization as soon as Nathan presents. Remember, Nathan presents the word of the Lord to him. And immediately, David's heart is pierced. And he says, I have sinned against the Lord. And my dear friends, that's where we should begin. We should begin in terms of our relationship with God. And he says, "My transgressions are ever before me. I know myself because of the Lord." You know, the way the conviction of sin comes is two ways, primarily. The conviction of sin comes through the Word of God. Has the Word of God ever been convicting in your life as it speaks to you about what we ought to be and we discover that we are not? Do not despise the Word of God as it speaks to your heart, because it is a word that even when it speaks to you about the reality of who you are as a person and all that you are and all that you've said and all that you've done, my dear friends, it is a grace that we ought to be thankful for that word turns us where? It turns us to depend upon the Lord. It turns us to Him, finally, who forgives sin and will not despise a broken and contrite heart. And that's His promise. If our hearts are broken, remember that the Lord does not despise our tears, and He does not despise that kind of heart. But we live in a world today in which is quite the opposite. You have to be strong-minded and strong-willed and self-determined and, you know, all those other things that the world is telling us that we ought to be. And my dear friends, how that is turning many, many, many away from the saving work of God. Ideas do have meaning, don't they? Ideas that people hold in this world that are so resistant to spiritual things and to the Word and to Christ have their effect on people's lives. But David, let me tell you, as the Lord brought him, against thee only have I sinned. David realized that ultimately he had sinned against the one who had made him. And he was trying to forget that in his sin. And now he could not escape it. The other means by which we are convinced and convicted of sin is by the Spirit of God, the Word and the Spirit of the Lord. And when He comes, He will convict. You remember sin and righteousness and judgment. The work of the Holy Spirit is to move our hearts, to move us from our position and to show us. And when David says, I know myself very well, or my transgressions are ever before me, that is the work of the Spirit. So my dear friends, if you lie or if you steal or whatever you might do against the living God in relationships and that type of thing, my dear friends, if your conscience is even pricked and you have a sense that maybe this is not right, I hope that you will listen to the Word and you will listen to the Spirit as they seek to draw you back to the Lord. Do not despise the chastening of the Lord. Do not despise the convincing of the Spirit. You know, David could have easily despised Nathan, couldn't he? Sometimes the messenger really catches it from a sinful world. You know what I mean? The bearer of bad news, or the one who's just going to sit down and tell you the truth. Many of us who may be in sin, if we're in that condition, we don't want to what? We don't want to hear it. And we certainly don't want the messenger to bring it. But you know, David loved Nathan for it. David loved Nathan for it instead of despising him. Dear friends, one of the signs of repentance is that the response to the message is a response of the grace of God in one's life to be able to say, that's true. That is me. What about the Word of God in your heart and the Spirit of God at work in you? Do you walk with the Spirit and the Word each day? Isn't it a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path? Is it not? The Spirit of God walks with us. And aren't you glad you have a companion? In this old world of hurt and pain and sin, aren't you glad you have a companion? I don't know about you, I'm glad that we have the Spirit of God within us and we have His leading and His work in our hearts. You see, that's His work in the church. One of those great ministries. And David, even after he says all of these things, you know, one of the things that David says, that Lord, if you forgive me, Lord, Lord, here, and I love where David comes to. He says, if, Lord, you don't forgive me, when you come for judgment and speak to me in judgment, you'll be just in what you say. Lord, if you come and I am convicted of this sin and worthy of death, and hell, Lord, I won't be able to blame you for it. I will have to say, yes, Lord, you are absolutely right in your judgment. Isn't that interesting that David comes to the willingness to even say that if God doesn't forgive? You see, again, where would we be were it not for grace? You see, that's what this psalm is all about, you see. It is about the grace and mercy of God. And David says something else. Lord, if you come, he says, first of all, Lord, I can't get away from it. My sins are ever before me. I know myself. And they're ever convicting me. And second of all, Lord, if you come and judge me for these sins and you judge in truth, I'll deserve it. And I won't be able to say a word because it will be true and right. But another thing, Lord, if you forgive me, he goes on down in the psalm and he says this, restore to me in verse 12, restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways and sinners will return to you. You know what David says? David says, Lord, if you, a sign of true repentance, Lord, if you forgive me, Lord, I'll be willing by your grace to have this sin exposed for all eternity and to be recorded even in your word so that I can teach other transgressors not to sin and to teach transgressors your way. He said, I'll be willing to take this as an example. Lord, I'll be willing to be used as an example for all eternity. And in your word, eternal. In order that other sinners might not go the way I went. Or that they might learn how to return unto you. Now let me ask you a question. Is that exactly what happened? That's exactly what happened. Because after David was forgiven so much by his grace, David wrote this song for the choir master to be sung. Life of his church forever. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness. Blot out my transgressions. Create in me a clean heart. Wash me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Cleanse me from all my transgressions. And you and I today look into the Psalms, and once again we are taught, are we not? We're once again taught. We are once again encouraged from a sinner's voice, David, in his relationship of confession and forgiveness from the Lord. It's quite remarkable, isn't it, that as these things are unfolded in Scripture, that they are there. Deliver me. Notice the depths. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God. You see, David realized how deep sin goes. David, in ultimate, not only had committed murder, he had committed adultery, but in his life, he had committed Uriah's life to death. And David recognizes that his sin has done what? His sin has led to the death, the lifeblood being shed of another because of him. I don't know whether you've ever had to deal with the guilt of that or not, but that's a difficult. I met a young man from Albuquerque, New Mexico. He had originally been in Salem, Virginia as a construction worker. He was placed in prison because he had been drinking one night after work, and he went through an intersection, and there were a pastor and his wife coming home that night from prayer meeting, and both the pastor and his wife were killed, and he was a drunk driver. He was put in prison, and he stayed in prison for quite a few years, and then he was released on probation. Well, thinking that his probation was in order, He took off to Albuquerque, New Mexico, and got a new job and took his wife and his two children. And he was working on his job and thought everything was fine until the police came and arrested him and brought him back to Salem, Virginia. And as he sat in his cell in Salem, Virginia, I received a call from him telling me that he was in prison. He was back in jail for violation of his probation that he thought was taken care of. So went to the jail to pray with him, and he wanted us to call his family. And his family were going to come out later and fly out, and the two children. And we were able to have the privilege of meeting her and the two children and getting to know them. And I remember one of the first things that he said sitting in the cell. He said, "You know, Pastor, this is exactly where I deserve to be." He said, "Even though I think there's been a mistake here in all of this with my probation," he said, "this is really where I deserve to be." He said, "I was the one that got drunk that night. I was the one who went through that intersection." And he said, "You don't know what it feels like to have the life of two people and their blood on your mind and heart." He said, "I can hardly live with myself." Can you sense the depth of what it must be like to carry the sense that you were responsible for another person's death? I want you to sense the depth of that in David's heart as he writes this psalm. "Lord, I'll teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from blood guiltness, O God. O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness." And he says, "Lord, if you forgive me of the depth of this guilt and this sin." He said, listen, doesn't a sinner who has been forgiven, don't they love to sing to the Lord? Does not a sinner like to sing to the Lord? Oh, yes, we do. We do. For we know the greatness of His grace and the greatness of His forgiveness in our life. For we are ones who have been covered by the blood of Christ. And you know, that's where this young man came. He said, "Lonnie, if it were not for the blood of Christ," he said, "do you know where I would be when I stood before the Lord in eternity?" He said, "I have no place else to turn." And he said, "Lonnie, sometimes you have to be impressed with the reality that you can't save yourself." And he said, "the Lord in my life put an exclamation point on it." He said, "so I love the Lord, and I love His forgiveness," he said, "but I will have to carry this with me into eternity." My dear friends, we ought not to despise the call of God to repentance. It's the other side of the coin of faith. Faith, the privilege to believe in God, the call of the Spirit to verify that these things that are being spoken of concerning Christ and His salvation and His Word is true. Does not the Spirit of God apply that to our hearts and lead us to believe in? And of course, Christians have debated among themselves which comes first, faith or repentance. Because the other side of the coin, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Jesus said, if you don't repent, you will... You remember? If you do not repent, you will perish. So we must know faith, what it is. As a Christian, we must know repentance and what it is. And my dear friends, it is so very important that we recognize the two sides of the coin, because by the two, as the church father said, we fly to heaven on those two wings, faith and repentance, as the work of God works within us. And my dear friends, how important is that in these days? Let's think about how important it is for us to have faith in the Lord and His finished work, and to repent of our sins, that our sins will not just go away. My dear friends, think about this. Think about the account that Jesus tells of the rich man and Lazarus. Do you remember the great heart of the rich man after he dies? The great heart of the rich man after he dies, you remember that he lifts his eyes up in hell. Do you remember what he asked? He had asked that Lazarus just dip his finger in the water and come down and touch his tongue with that drop of water. And Father Abraham, the Lord says what? No, I'm sorry. There's a chasm between Lazarus and you. There's a chasm between heaven and hell. And he said, remember, my child, when you were in life, you enjoyed all your good things. And I'll parenthesis, and you disregarded the rest of the world and everybody else, and you lived your own way, and you disregarded Lazarus, the poor man, even at your gate. Listen, you lived your life of pleasure and goodness and everything for yourself. Now it is Lazarus's turn to enjoy all good things. And do you know the final request of the rich man in hell? The rich man in hell finally says, please send someone back, send Lazarus back, and tell them not to come to this place. What would you give not to go to that place? Will our hearts be turned against the Lord, and will it take us by surprise? Because we have not repented. We have not turned to the Lord. Forgiveness. It was a great request of the rich man, even from hell, but it was too late, wasn't it? Death had already come. And you and I today, while we are living, while you and I are alive, we have the opportunity and the call to turn to the Lord, to trust in His Word and to repent of sin and to turn to Him in trust and faith and cling to Him with our whole heart and flee to Him with our whole life and depend upon Him as a sinner. He who turns to the Lord will not be disappointed, the Bible says. He who turns to the Lord will not be disappointed. Perhaps we need to hear that message again before it's too late. Maybe you need to hear that message before it's too late. Maybe the preacher needs to hear that message before it's too late. Because preachers are not exempt, are we? None of us are. I suppose that the thing I would speak to you as a preacher is not to take the grace of God for granted in your own life. Don't take for granted the grace of God that He has poured out upon you. Be careful of your life and your relationship with the Lord. Love Him. Love His forgiveness and know His atonement. Seek the leading of His Spirit and seek to walk in righteousness and in a way that would please the Lord. Look to Him for your whole life. That forgiveness is noted in several places in Scripture, the character of it. And that character is wonderful. There was a man who lived his life as a criminal. And it's quite a picture of God's mercy and grace. And this man, of course, is being crucified with the Lord. A criminal, a murderer. He is nailed in the typical Roman way to that cross. And kerlunk, the Roman cross is put down on that hill, the skull, the rock of the skull, and there he is crucified with the Lord. And there is another crucified on the other side of him, also a criminal. He cries out, one says, if you are the Son of God, get us down off this cross. Save us and save yourself too. Do you hear any repentance of sin? Do you hear any repentance of sin? Lord, save your skin and save our skin too. You know, that's the world, isn't it? Save my skin. And it'll be all right. And then, boy, think about the contrast and the difference. And the other one thief says what? Man, don't you fear man or God? We are getting what we deserve. What did this criminal understand? My sin is ever before me. Man, we are getting what we deserve. We did the crime, and this is the punishment for it justly, and this is what we deserve. But what? Oh, man, it just blows me away. But this man has what? Has done nothing. This man is being crucified just like we are, and he hadn't done anything. Hadn't done a thing. He's not like us. He's not like us. We're dying for our sins, and he's dying for our sins. He's dying as a righteous man, convicted in a court of justice, and presumed guilty and crucified with us, the likes of us. He's being crucified with us. He don't deserve it. Lord, listen to repentance. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Where did that come from, if not from the grace of God and the Spirit of God? Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And dear friends, oh, if any one of us were to hear those words directly, how beautiful. And the Lord being crucified, bleeding and dying, turns to this thief and murderer and says, today you will be with me in paradise. Today you will be with me. The other example of repentance that I hear and I see in Scripture, there were two men who went up to the temple to pray. You remember the publican and the Pharisee? The Pharisee went to the temple and he went down to the front and he said, praise God, I give of all that I have. Look at my tithe. Look how big that check is. Boy, I'm a wonderful guy. And I'm glad I'm not like other people. Look at them publicans and all those people back yonder. Look what I've done with my life. Look how wonderful it is. I'm just great. And you remember the Scriptures. It's a very interesting little phrase. But it says, and the Pharisee thus prayed to himself. He went to church that Sunday, but he prayed to himself. And that was a tax collector who was so impressed in his heart, I think, by the grace of God and the work of the Spirit. He was going to bring his offering, but it says he could not even enter. He could not even enter the temple of God because he didn't feel a sense of worthiness. And he would not even lift his eyes to heaven. He stood on the steps of the church. Did not even feel worthy to go in or to sit down or to bring his offering. He would not even cast his eyes to heaven. And he said, Father, forgive me, the sinner. And Jesus said to those whom he was talking to, that is, those who trusted in themselves and in their own righteousness, oh my, what an audience to which he was speaking. And he said, which one of these two do you think went down to their house justified? And they said, well, of course, the tax collector. And he said, you have said right. Repent and you shall live too. Repentance. We as the church are always in danger of forgetting, aren't we? May continual repentance and the presence of the Holy Spirit and His walk with you and the piercingness of the Word never depart from you, and may you always have a right estimation of yourself as a Christian who has been forgiven by the grace of God in His Son. And may that give you strong sense in your heart to be able to mortify sin and to deal with it in your life. Oh, wretched man that I am. You remember Paul, don't you? Oh, wretched man that I am. Who will deliver me from this bondage? of the flesh. And you know there's one just simple answer, my friends. Praise God. The victory is in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Amen? Amen. May the Lord be with you, and may He lead you in all repentance and faith toward Him. Next Sunday, we'll begin with Psalm 32, and we'll look at David's sense and description of what it was like. What was life like when I was not willing to repent? Oh, boy. We'll talk about what goes on in the heart of a man or woman, boy or girl, when they refuse to turn to the Lord. Let's look to the Lord. Father, thank You for Your Word. The Word that is recorded in Scripture in Psalm 51 here. Lord, what amazing passage of Scripture. What an amazing song in the Hebrew songbook that it was taken out of a page of David's very life and walk with You. And Your gracious dealing with him. His confession of his sin. And Lord, the distance You went to show Your grace in his life. Father, thank You for Your mighty work in our hearts when You convict us of our sin and when You lead us in paths of righteousness. Lord, teach us to live the right way by Your grace. Help us to walk with You. And Lord, when we do sin, help us not to escape. Help us not to run, for like Jonah, there is no place to hide from You. Help us to recognize that at the outset. And Father, turn our hearts toward You. And may faith and repentance be always a part of our walk with You until we see You face to face. And our faith, that repentance and His forgiveness, is made a reality. In His name we pray.